I am all in.
With Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Well, we're back. We are back from our break. Ladies and gentlemen.
Happy to be back.
We are back. How was everybody's vacation? Huh? Good Christmas? Good holidays? Who wants to start?
Vacation was just filled with COVID and
leaks
in our house from the rain. But we're here.
Listen, we've got Danielle Romo, we've got Riley Palousis, we've got Amy Sugarman, we've got the ball club back together. Everybody's in one piece somewhat. Some of us are in COVID, some of us are out of it, some of us are in the middle of it, but we're still doing the podcast. We're strong.
I don't have COVID, but if I sound a little weird, it's because I'm in a bathroom.
Right.
Because my furnace that's in my attic broke, and so it basically started raining in my house. So I'm at my mom's house and the internet's not great, so I'm literally, my computer is on a toilet and I'm sitting on the bathroom floor. But how do I sound?
You've never sounded better, actually.
It's very well themed with this episode that we have to recap today. You couldn't be more Lorelai.
It's just perfect. It's like you're mimicking the character.
Put the video of it raining inside my house on the Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
And right next to Lorelai's falling in her porch.
Well, I hope everybody had a wonderful holiday break and you got plenty of stocking stuffers and got all the presents you wanted and had a wonderful, safe holiday. Happy New Year, everybody. Hope 2022 is the best year yet.
Starting off that way.
I'm going to announce right here on the show that I have COVID and I am in the grips of it, kind of in the middle of it, but I'm rallying a little bit.
Yeah, I did not think you were going to make it today. Did you see my text?
I said you were a little concerned. I know. I was a little concerned. I was like, wow, I because of the fatigue factor. So
I don't want you to feel pressure, but it, just so people know, it's why we weren't on last week, because there's five people on this Zoom and four.
Lady, I operate best under pressure, let me tell you.
Oh my.
So anyway, you just got to roll with the punches and you got to deliver, right? And we're going to
crank. You're a champ, Scott.
You are the champs. I'm just maybe the cut guy in the corner. That's it. You're the champs. I'm just trying to hang in there. And guys, here we go. We're gonna break down season 2, episode 11, Secrets and Loans, original air date, January 22, 2002. What did we think of this episode? I have a definitive reaction. I want to hear your reactions first.
Danielle, you go.
I mean, just like I was kind of saying earlier, I just really related to this episode just with my recent house leak. I just couldn't stop laughing. It was such a good episode. And I know we'll jump into it a little bit more, but Rory and Paris' dynamic in this episode was great. I loved it.
So I think we have a synopsis coming up. Riley, you want to?
Yeah, Riley.
You want to give us a synopsis?
I would love to give the synopsis. I'm really sad I don't have my sexy voice anymore, but glad I don't have COVID. So it's a great trade-off.
It is a trade-off.
So this is episode 11, Secrets and Loans, air date January 22nd, 2002. Lorelai is concerned over the fact that she cannot afford to repair her home's extensive termite damage, turns to anger when Rory tells Emily about their problem and Emily offers a loan to Lorelai again.
I'm not going to lie. I did call my dad when my ceiling was leaking in and said, I don't think I'm going to need to borrow any money, but be ready just in case.
So what are we, how do we feel about this episode?
So it's so funny because I think we loved it and I'm getting a feeling you didn't.
I didn't.
Tell us more.
I did not.
Tell us everything.
I thought it was a lackluster performer. I thought it was been there, done that. We've seen this already. Same old tropes, same old stuff, same old, nothing new. Didn't get it. I just felt like, I just felt like the writer's room took a week off and was leaning on, you know, on the greatness of the past couple of episodes. And I don't remember laughing at all. I wasn't amused by it at all. It was grating to me.
Interesting.
And I think it was one of the reasons critics look at the show and say, well, you know, they could point a finger and say, well, that's this show is inconsistent. It's not delivering at a very high level every single episode. And this is one of the episodes you can point to, in my opinion, that for me did not deliver. It was all, just saw everything coming a mile away. What can I tell you? Lorelai got on my nerves. I thought the whole thing was shrill.
Do you think it was your least favorite episode?
Absolutely.
So far?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. I thought they could have scrubbed it and redone it.
I did not feel that way. Riley and Danielle, tell me how you guys felt. I did not feel that way.
Well, coming off of last episode, Bracebridge Dinner, that was unbelievable. So I'll give it to you, Scott. This one was a little bit softer, but I still loved it. I still found the humor in it. I still thought there was a lot of good content in there, but it was softer than like coming off of Bracebridge Dinner. I'll give you that.
I see what Scott's saying in that it was redundant, sort of for a better... no better word to use, like Paris and Rory have conflict. We've seen it. Emily and Lorelai have conflict over money. We've seen it. You know, Luke comes to the rescue, but Lorelai won't take his help. We've seen it, but I still totally enjoyed it. Oh, Scott, you guys, I wish you guys could see his face. Okay. So let's break it down. So let's start with Paris and Rory and the PSATs. Did you find that amusing at all?
Not in the least.
I giggled. I thought it was, I mean, I can remember taking the PSATs. I sort of remember people wanting to know what your score was and you sort of being like, well, I don't know. And Paris just desperately needing to know. I also think it's fascinating that they are neck and neck. Rory's score is 20 points higher than Paris, but they are competitors.
Yeah,
Paris's anxiety really had me LOLing. I thought it was great.
Her anxiety, Paris's anxiety. She's a complete psychopath. And she's sitting there just like in her pathetic state. You know, I'm sorry. Maybe it's the COVID or whatever influencing me.
No, but it's fine for you not to like an episode because it makes this conversation that like, much more interesting.
Again, with this psychopath sitting here, like fishing for compliments and please ask me the question. I mean, and Rory is so above it at this point, and she just looks at Paris like this nut job again. And no, I'm not going to play into her game because that's exactly. You know, tis the nature of psychopathology is right. The instant gratification that they seek. It's nothing's long term. That's nothing's planned out. They just need to have their satisfaction when they need it. And it's all about them. And Rory knows this instinctively, if not, you know, intellectually. And she just wasn't going to play the game. She knew exactly how to play Paris. She knew exactly how to do it.
I found that so amusing.
That was amusing, but we've already seen Rory deal with it in a similar way. So she's already
there wasn't anything groundbreaking. I'll give you
There's nothing left to figure out with Paris. There's nothing compelling about Paris.
I just found it amusing. When the girls are splitting up their Fritos, which I thought, who thought of that? So they're splitting up their Fritos and here comes Paris just fishing, like you said, trying to get them to ask for her scores. Mm-hmm. But there was such a funny zinger in there when they're talking. So before Paris walks up, the two girls are talking about how the boy hasn't called her. And the one says, did you guys catch that one? The one says, oh, I thought we really connected in my closet the other day.
Didn't quite get that one.
So they're splitting the Fritos. And then Rory's just like, okay, Paris. Like, she's not even sitting with them down. What's your scores? And then the whole thing, like, are you a person that gets happy about a sunset? Like, I actually thought that was funny.
Right.
Scott.
I don't know.
For the first time, I felt Paris's anxiety. I was like, just tell her the score. Like, I just was like, just tell her, throw in her face.
What did you think of your performance? I liked it.
My performance?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know that there was a lot there to really comment on. I think, you know, sure. Yeah, I serviced it okay and it was fine, but I just don't think there was a tremendous amount of, you know, there wasn't really an arc. I mean, he served his purpose. He offered the money. He was, you know, the good guy, the whole thing. But, you know, again, we've seen it over and over again. And he kind of gave up. The one thing I did notice about that one scene outside when he...
This is when you're under the porch.
When I'm under the porch. Right. Mm-hmm. When I'm under the porch. Is that he kind of gave up too quickly.
I agree. And, I agree with you.
And I think it for me, it minimized... I don't know, any potential relationship or the depth of their friendship, and why couldn't she trust him to take this? And I didn't quite understand that, because it was such an easy thing for him. And look, hey, totally. It's not a big deal. But then this goes back to Lorelai's pride. And
I think you make a great point. Yeah. I do agree that Luke, first of all, I love that he comes to the rescue. I love that he goes under and can tell what's going on, and he's very manly, you know, and he's just very cool and he's very good to her. And then you get that glimpse of, like, Luke is successful. Like, at first glance, you're like, oh, he owns a diner. He's sort of an average guy, blue collar, you might say, but he's very successful, very smart, always can teach her about the loans and the bank and this and that. I agree with you. He should have stepped up and said, Lorelai, stop this nonsense.
Right.
Borrow the money from me.
Right.
This is what's happening.
But yeah, but it does go back to her pride. And I get that. And, you know, she's really digging in and wanting to do it herself. But I don't know. Again, you know, you're setting up Luke to suffer in silence even more. Mm-hmm. Okay. He did his bit. He did his bidding. He put in his bid. It got rejected again. And now he's, you know, assuming that familiar role of, oh gosh, okay, well, I'll just suffer here. And it's sort of a device where, you know, the writing has to leave Lorelai vulnerable to battle it out on the icy flats with her mother. Yet again.
That's what
was another, you know, here we go again with this. And it just felt to me manufactured and contrived. It didn't feel natural. It didn't feel, you know, and immediately Emily gets up and goes to the checkbook. Immediately there's conflict. Immediately, you know, and it's like everything this woman tries to do for her. And I think I just got tired of, you know, I was actually not shouting at the TV screen. I don't talk to the TV screen. I'm not crazy. in that way. But it's like, will you let this woman help you? She has actual good intentions. And why can't you see it? And it made me sad that their relationship was just so completely in tatters still, where they cannot communicate on an adult level with any kind of mutual trust. I mean, I think Emily trusts her, and I think Emily is making far more of an effort to repair the damage that was done. And I think she's taking responsibility for her end in it and overcompensating and trying to make up for it. And Lorelai is just beating the stuffing out of her every chance she gets. And I'm just tired of seeing it. It almost comes off like elder abuse. And I want her to stop doing it. I want her to grow up. I want to shake her and say, hey, you know, come on.
You know, right. Your mom's sorry for what happened.
Right.
And let's move forward.
Right. It happened, you know, and my God, you know, everybody screwed up here. So let's, I don't know. I just didn't want to see a battle. Not during the holidays. No, no.
So let me ask all of you this. What did you think when Rory maybe overstepped and told Emily what was going on? And did you think Lorelai's very angry reaction was too much? What did everybody think of sort of that situation?
Yeah.
I definitely thought it was too much, like Lorelai's reaction to Rory. Because at the end of the day, Rory wants help too. You know, like it's their house, you know, she wants it to get fixed and realizes that her family needs some help. So she's going to tell her grandma about it. You know, like it's a very, I think, normal thing to do. But yeah, the way that Lorelai reacted was she was projecting on her own insecurities versus like what the actual situation was. Mm-hmm. Like, sorry, Lorelai, that you don't want to ask your mom for help, but Rory can, you know?
Scott, what did you think?
Well, I thought, you know, Lorelai made it a big deal right away. She woke her own daughter up at 11 o'clock at night. Oh, can you hear the termites munching and it's horrible and it's gross and oh, let's get out of here. And they, she, you know, she gets her up and gets her dressed and they have to walk to Suki's. And then, you know, they start eating milkshakes at Suki's and that scene. And then Jackson comes out, whatever, with his pajamas. But, which I fell flat for me too. I didn't find that funny. And so it's like, it's Lorelai who made the big deal out of it. And now she wants everybody to forget about it. And I can take care of this. Well, if you thought that you were going to make, if you just wanted to take care of it yourself and figure it out all by yourself, why the hell did you wake your daughter up at 11 o'clock at night, get her up, get her to Suki's. And you know, this girl needs a rest. She's going to this private school. She can't be up and upheaval and termites. And, you know, my mom's upset. You know, it's why do you how do you do that to your child? And then sort of try to downplay everything. It's like, listen to me. Of course, it's a big deal. Of course, she's going to say to grandma, well, you know, we have termites because my mom woke me up in the middle of the night. And we, you know, it's a big enough of a problem. We're going to lose our house. That my mom wanted to get the hell out of the house before it collapsed around us. So I just didn't understand the logic of it. You know, I didn't understand the logic of how Lorelai was justifying all of these actions and behaviors. So it was a little bit of a mystery to me.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I agree. Like it's putting a lot of, even though Lorelai and Rory have this very open relationship and they're very honest and they know everything, that's a lot of anxiety, like we said, for a 16, 17 year old kid to go like, the house is falling apart and we don't have any money.
Right.
So there were jokes like, we'll never eat again.
Right.
And, you know, different little jokes. But at the same time, as a kid, you'd be like, am I going to have a place to live?
Right. As she traumatizes her kid, we have no money. We're broke. I don't know what to do, but keep your mouth shut. And if you open your mouth, I'm going to be pissed off. I just thought it was Lorelai out of control. You know?
And I get it that Lorelai said, don't ask grandma, grandpa. And then Rory goes around her and brings it up. But, you know, that money is not a lot for Emily and Richard. It's like, they want to help.
Yeah.
Like you said, I get where you're coming from. Like it would be easier if these people would all sort of forgive each other.
Yeah.
And move on.
Are they a family or aren't they? Does Lorelai want her daughter to grow up in a family or not? Does she want to be the ringmaster her entire life and control the video? Or does she want her mom and dad to be a real part of Rory's life, which they are inevitably anyway?
And Rory obviously has that trust of her grandparents. It's not like she just thinks like, oh, they're rich, they'll give us the money. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's my grandparents. They will help us.
Yeah.
Interesting. So let me ask you all this. From our perspective, what should Lorelai have done? I guess I think she should have just borrowed the money from Luke, but I get why she didn't. What would you have liked to have seen Lorelai do?
No, that's good, right? I think that's good. And then Luke gets involved and then there's sort of a conflict between Emily and Luke.
Yeah.
And there's a chance for real comedy and, you know, but it widens the family somewhat. It brings the townspeople involved. And I mean, who knows, you know, that's, That's one possibility. Danielle, you were going to say something?
Yeah. No, I love that. I didn't think about that, but I love that. I was going to say, I wish she just went to Emily, because it would have shown a little level of maturity, an olive branch per se, you know, like, all right, I'm treating you like my mom now, you know, instead of like Lorelai always being so I'm an independent woman. Like, I would have loved to see the vulnerability for a second between Emily and Lorelai.
Right.
Does homeowners insurance not cover termites? I guess not.
I don't know.
We'll soon find out, Amy.
It depends on your policy, I guess.
But I do have termites in LA. I don't have termites where I am right now.
But another storyline could have been, you know, Lorelai goes to her mother right away. They help out. And then the conflict becomes Emily starts shopping for a new house for Lorelai.
Totally.
In Stars Hollow or in Hartford. Well, it's closer to Chilton, I thought, and you were closer to us. And I know you love your little town with all your wild characters in there, but juicy. I think now maybe it's time you get closer to me and Richard, and you know, we're getting older and
closer
to school, the whole thing. Yeah. So then, and then that could have caused all kinds of conflict between Lorelai and myself. And, you know, we're going to commute back and forth and, you know, whatever, I'll never see at the diner again. You know, there are a million ways you could have gone about it, but I don't know.
Or in 2020, a GoFundMe. I mean, or take, I don't know. She could have rented out a room in the house. I do think the house is only two bedrooms, though. So I guess not that. I see what you're saying. Like, we can play with this, and there were other options.
And the town could have come together and raised the money for her, and it could have been a big town celebration. And, you know, Luke could have led the way, or Taylor could have led the way. You know, it would have been super surprising. Emily could have been involved. And then it turns out that Emily was really the ringmaster behind it.
Right.
And it was, oh, mom, thank you. You know, whatever. There's a million ways it could have gone. It just, I don't know. It was.
I love that the banker was Larry Dallas from Three's Company. Did you notice that?
Yeah. He was great.
Richard Klein. You know it right away. So for those of you that are older, Three's Company, that was Jack Tripper's best friend. Richard Klein, he played Larry Dallas, and then he's the banker. And look, I liked that scene too, because I liked Emily's I like the performance there where she's just sitting back like, okay. And then that is true. The banker's like, oh, you want me to just tell you the truth? You don't qualify for this loan. Bye. Yeah. But here's the salt. It was almost like they were in cahoots, but at the same time, the banker was like, tell them the truth. Like,
yeah, but it's, and I don't like how, you know, we're portraying, Emily's being portrayed as some kind of underhanded, connected with the banker, the evil banker,
right.
You know, this kind of, I mean, it's like, Jesus, you know, there was a level of maturity that I found lacking in this script. And a level of naivete. And I just thought it just lacked scope. It lacked size. It lacked what Gilmore really can bring to bear with these gigantic life moments, with these, with these that really resonate when you watch them. And it just, to me, it just all seemed like they were leaning on, you know, old, tried and true, very thin kind of methodology here.
Let me ask you sort of an inside baseball question. When you have an episode like so they write the episodes in order, right? Like, I would assume they don't really write them out of order. So when you have an episode like the Bracebridge dinner, that's just huge, like brilliantly written, these intense scenes, horse and carriages going around the town, a big giant episode, like we would call it a sweeps episode. Would it be not that shocking that the following episode just can't live up to that?
Oh yeah, probably. Cause I think there's probably a level of fatigue and I don't know. Yeah.
If you're cranking out 20, 24 episodes and you've got, you know, we always back in the day, sweeps. So like the November episodes, the February episodes, the May episodes were always the biggest, you know?
Right.
So this was of that time. So I'm wondering, maybe there is something to what you're saying, that this episode, no, it wasn't a 5-star because they had just done this huge thing.
Two. two actually back to back.
Yeah.
I think that's a good point. But still, as a fan, I want to tune in and I want to be knocked out.
You want a home run every week.
I do. And this was maybe a seeing eye single through the right side, you know, a dribbler. What can I tell you?
So I don't know. I'm going to be the one that's like, I enjoyed this episode. I thought the Kirk scene played well for me when he was saying all those funny lines, like, I don't want to stand on the porch. And then he's like, let's come over here in case something from the roof ricochets off. Like, I thought that worked for me. Mm-hmm. Him being the termite guy. Mm-hmm. I love the beginning where Sarah is playing and she's so happy and waking up in her bed and her jammies and goes out in her robe and Rory's in her cute jammies. And then boom, music stops and she's through the porch. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I found it all kind of amusing.
It just wasn't enough for me. The fact that that was the main theme of the entire episode, wasn't enough. A layer, sure. A B
so you
story.
You would like that to be the B or C
A
story.
C story, but not the A.
That's fair. I also thought the scene...
It missed an A storyline. It missed something thematic and larger and more fun. That could create more complication.
So like this would have been a storyline, PSAT a storyline, but then something bigger was the A.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like the scene in the diner when you two are bantering about the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And she's like, I'll do your makeup. That'll be a help. Yeah. Like the banter and the sarcasm, I just thought it was great.
Yeah.
You didn't love it?
Yeah, it's all right. It's okay.
All right. Should we take a break?
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Grouchy sick people.
All right, everybody, let's take a break while we're gonna get our meds going.
Normally we cough edit syrup. Out if someone coughs, but I think we'll just keep it all in for all y'all.
All right, we'll be back after these words. All right, everybody, we're back and we're discussing one of the more delightful experiences watching Gilmore.
Am I the only one who noticed the freezer issue?
Which freezers you're talking about?
So Rory and Lorelai go over to Suki's, you know, in the middle of the night, wake her up. Everyone's wearing their cute jammies. I know we'll get to fashion, but I liked Lorelai's chandelier shirt. So they're all getting stuff out of the freezer and Lorelai goes to sort of kick the door closed, like tap it, but with a kick, and it did not close.
Huh.
So I think I did do a little Googling because I was like, did I notice that or am I just like crazy? And they did say it seems because it wasn't a real freezer. So it was like, didn't close like a freezer would.
Right. Yeah. They're not real. There's not real refrigeration going on there. It's all props.
How do they keep the ice cream cold when Suki's like scooping it?
Gosh, that is a good... Well, you know, they bring in a thing of Häagen-Dazs that's somewhat, you know, halfway melted or three quarters melted or quarter melted. That's not hard.
And then as the scene goes on, would you get a fresh cold one so it's not all soupy?
Yeah, props would always have a couple of backups. Yeah, so...
What'd you guys think of Lane and the cheerleader situation?
Just out of the blue. Just like, what is going on here? Just came out of the blue.
So out of the blue, and it was kind of like the first time we saw Rory get a little, I want to say kind of jealous, because she was like, you're so preppy now. Like, I don't know, I saw a little jealousy-ish.
Yeah.
Jealousy and that uniform scene when they're all, Taylor's making them undress the uniforms, because it's freezing cold outside. That was my favorite scene.
I thought Lane was quite a good cheerleader.
Yeah. But what was the purpose of that? What is the purpose of turning Lane into a cheerleader?
It's unexpected.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
I never would have said Lane would be a cheerleader.
But I just didn't understand. She's a rebellious teen listening to underground rock, hiding from her mother. you know, most of the time. And all of a sudden she's a cheerleader. I mean, I don't know.
What I found interesting is when Rory left to go to Chilton, Lane was like, oh no, don't become like, you know, one of those preppy kids. Right. And then now Lane is the preppy one.
I don't know. Just
I do feel like, okay, as much as I enjoy this episode, I will give Scott, because there was a lot of sort of like random bleep going on. Like it was sort of like the writers were like, let's give Lane something to do.
Mm-hmm.
Let's yeah. do that.
Let's flatten the basketball. It's like, okay. He throws a basketball at her. And it was like, you know, the obligatory Dean scene where he's so sweet and he's so caring and the whole thing. And she responds, right? She needs him. Now she appreciates. Now she really needs him. But he gets his basketball flood. Why'd you throw a basketball at my head? But I don't like basketball. That's one of those. I don't know, man. This one, I was trying. I watched it twice, too. I mean, I was just like,
did I miss something?
What's going on here? You know?
Yeah, I enjoyed it both times, but also, I maybe feel better than you guys. Because once I left my ceiling and the water pouring in.
Is it the COVID review? Does this episode have the great misfortune of being reviewed under COVID circumstances?
That should be the title of this episode.
Oh my
God. COVID review.
Yeah, it's almost like we should do an experiment like in 6 months and just out of nowhere go back and watch this one again and see if you guys like it more feeling 100%. Because see, I'm the one. I feel okay.
No.
I got a lot of construction issues.
No, it just... It just missed. It just kept missing for me.
Why are those two girls' names out of my head? The two best friends. What is happening?
Madeline Louise.
Yes, I found them so amusing this episode. I apologize. Don't send me mean comments. Their names just went out of my head. I don't know why.
Well, I don't know. There isn't a lot more to discuss because there wasn't much more to the episode. I mean, what the heck more was there to the episode? She gets the loan.
Fair.
The end. Okay, great. She gets the loan. The end. Okay. Can we go back to bed now? Okay.
Look, as much as I disagree that I don't think it was as bad as you do, you're right. Maybe it was an episode filled with sort of BC storyline.
It wasn't up to, you know, they raised the bar so high prior and this didn't come close.
I think we got a little glimpse of next week because Emily mentions that Richard is sort of closing his accounts and he's enjoying that because next week is a big one with Richard coming to Stars Hollow. So everybody can get excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, yeah, maybe it was just sort of an episode because they have to deliver 20-something episodes.
I mean, there was a good Yannick scene. There was a good Michelle scene, wasn't there? She went into the inn with her shiny shirt, with her microwave shirt, you know? And what did they had some kind of a scene.
Why do I not remember this at all?
I don't either.
Don't you remember she goes into the Stars Hollow? And Yannick and her have a scene in her shiny shirt.
Does anyone remember this?
Her glittery microwave shirt, her high glitter radiation shirt.
They're at the front desk and Michelle's about to answer the phone.
Right.
And he's talking about taking the wrong approach.
Yes.
Right. Manipulating
him. When she kept getting rejected by the banks.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
Pardon me.
There's a little racy or like a pretty scandalous line from Michelle in there.
What was that?
He says, you know, in Thailand, women do this trick with a ping pong ball that is a big crowd pleaser.
I missed that.
That was very racy.
You really do have to watch the episodes twice because you catch an entire set of lines
that's
the second time. I liked when Mrs. Kim shooed Rory out of the antique shop with the broom and said, "You're a carrier."
Right. She has termites.
I chuckled. I was amused.
She sprayed her with the hose.
We don't have to make everybody suffer. We can move on to our favorite fashion moments, our favorite lines in pop culture, and just get out of this and see how next week is.
I don't know. I think a lot of people are going to agree with me.
I can't wait to find out.
I think it's not, you know, my intention, but I'm sorry.
We should do a poll.
Just didn't hit me.
On Instagram.
I was hard up for entertainment, you know, being bedridden for a couple of days. You know, I really wanted to get up and watch something spectacular. I was open for it. So,
did you watch anything else that wowed you?
No.
Oh.
I didn't watch anything else. I went right back to bed. I was disappointed.
Danielle, have you been watching TV nonstop for 10 days?
Yep, I did. Emily in Paris. This is Us is back.
I did the morning show.
Lots of Housewives. There's 3 going on right now at one time. So I'm fully just crushing it in the TV game.
Here's my favorite fashion moment. The pajamas. Rory's. I need to know, were those Nick and Nora again? We might need to look up. Because she had a great pair of pajamas in the, you know, scene right after the title credits when K-Sara-Sara is going. And then she had another pair of pajamas when they went to Suki's that were also adorable, looked like the same designer. So I'm giving, and Suki's robe was adorable. I'm giving pajamas just the ultimate thumbs up in this episode.
There is no other fashion moment. That's it. That was the big standout for me too.
No, there's the...
Minus that sparkly shirt.
That's the high glitter radiation microwave shirt she was wearing that was quite toxic for people, and they needed to check their radiation levels after coming in contact with that shirt. Let me tell you.
Oh my God.
That was a microwave of Stars Hollow. You could start an Instagram page. Microwaves of Stars.
Well, let's definitely put that up on our Instagram.
Okay.
Sure. Should we take one more break and then come back with the highlight of the episode?
Yes, I think we should. Yes, let's take a break, and we will de-shine our shirts somehow, so that not to give off the radiation. And we'll be back after these messages. All right, everybody, we're back.
I like that Rory eats Eggos. Did you see that? And she gave one to Kirk.
She gave two to Kirk. Kirk got 2 waffles.
I've been craving an Eggo waffle.
You know, for me, that was the highlight of the entire episode. When Kirk ate those waffles, I was so happy for Kirk. No, I'm just kidding. Kirk did seem to have a lot of termite knowledge, though.
Totally. That was
impressive.
Incredible.
Totally impressive. And I thought that's where he belongs. He belongs in the termite field. Kirk should be a termitologist. He should be fumigating houses. That's perfect for him. And
I still like that Luke came over and he knows a lot of stuff too.
But you can't steal Kirk's thunder for the accuracy of the wardrobe.
True.
For the depth of the knowledge.
I also like that Luke is a baller, and $15,000 was not going to be an issue for him whatsoever. It was like, look at it. Like, definitely I'm starting to think Luke's got $250,000 somewhere in the bank.
Oh, no doubt.
Definitely, yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Definitely. Oh yeah.
He is good with the money.
No, he's been investing in big tech. I mean, he's rich as Midas right now.
Struggling.
2022, he's rich as Midas. He invested well.
Totally. Yeah.
Oh, he's a Mac Daddy right now.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. He might get a microwave shirt and go high glitter on it. You know, you never know. Really? The two of those, you know, that could be their wedding.
Did he get Gucci belt from Bloomingdale's when Lorelai dressed him?
I don't know. I think he did.
He got a belt. I don't know if it was a Gucci.
He can wear some clothes now. You just need to get him the clothes.
Yeah.
He can, you know, he can.
So Riley, was last episode when you were out and Danielle filled in?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Oh my God. So this is the return of Riley.
Wow.
Thank God.
Wow. Dun, dun, dun.
I'm Riley is back. COVID free. Have you tested negative?
I have not tried testing again, but I feel okay.
Where, did you go okay. somewhere to get the test or did you do it at home?
I did both.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
We got a guy. We got a guy. If you need
we got a person.
Really? You send me a guy?
I shouldn't even tell this because it's like, but we have to test a bunch of people for work today. And I actually sent our guy a note that said, don't worry, I'm fully expecting this person's going to come back positive. So I don't mm-hmm. want you to feel upset when you have to break the news to me. Like, we're well prepared for mm-hmm. it. Like, our poor COVID. So iHeart, we have someone that does all our testing. And I mean, yes.
The COVID episode.
I think everyone listening also is experiencing Jesus. The same thing. So it's just wow. like.
Well,
so what are we at? Wait, I give our, we're at a 80% positivity rate.
What are you talking about?
We have 5 people working right now and 4 either have it or had it.
Yeah.
We are literally the LA statistic. We're 1 in 4 people.
Oh,
our test. No.
And Easton, our engineer. 5. Don't forget Easton. He's
we're 4 out of 5.
There.
Five out of 5.
Yeah,
100%. No, not me. Don't count me. You're 4 out of 5. Yeah. I don't leave my house.
Well, I don't know that it's COVID, but it probably is.
Scott.
I dodged a bullet for 2 years and now boom.
So I know. Same. Scott, what the get hell? On TikTok. All you got to do is get on TikTok and watch those people give their symptoms and you have every single one.
God darn it.
I love that you go to TikTok for the symptoms.
Okay, I'm totally obsessed with TikTok. That's a problem. I want to start our TikTok account. Don't forget, we're getting on that, Scott. We're starting our TikTok within the next couple weeks. Yeah.
I'm going to get on there and show off my curves, man. Get some attention.
I have to start influencing people. With a grain of salt, though, because it's not necessarily accurate.
Yeah. We're going to have some dance routines, dance moves.
Yeah, we got to do some cool stuff.
We're just going to take over.
I can't wait.
I'm born to do TikTok. Born to do it.
By the way, I will say, though, I saw a TikTok this week where the guy was talking about Sex and the City, the reboot, but he tagged it and admitted that he was tagging it Gilmore Girls because more people will watch or see the TikTok if he tags it Gilmore Girls.
Smart man.
Yep. I don't know who that guy was.
That's a word to the wise. Props. Make sure you tag GG, no matter what subject you're talking about. You'll get the eyeballs. Listen, man, it's been a strange trip. It's been a really long, strange trip. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. I was in Colorado, and every time I'd hoist my skis on my shoulders and walk to the lift, I would see another influencer in a bikini grinding on a snowmobile and it would just seem normal. So it's like, what is, you know, the world has changed. Okay. The world has changed. And I don't know how else to explain it, but, you know, you either just got to accept it and roll the punches or just get back in bed and put the sheets over your head.
Both good options.
He doesn't have COVID. Don't worry, guys.
I don't have COVID.
He's not sure it's COVID. I'm no doctor, but
it's just a bit of a congestion here in the chesticle region. Mm.
If COVID brain was an episode, it'd be this.
Yep.
That's a real thing too. I've seen on TikTok. I don't want that.
Well, speaking of grinding, should we grind out this pop culture?
Give us the pop culture, Rye.
Well, thank you so much for filling in, Danielle. You did a fantastic job. Seeing the reviews, everybody loves you. So thank you. So I'm Riley. I'm back. I'm back with your pop culture. Thank you for having me. So first we have Madeline Louise talking about boys while they're eating lunch at Chilton. And Madeline says, boys, a Nancy Drew mystery. Nancy Drew is a fictional character, a sleuth in an American mystery series created as a female counterpart to the Hardy Boys series. More than 500 Nancy Drew books have been published since 1930, and in 1977, the Hardy Boys / Nancy Drew mystery series was a TV series starring Pamela Sue Martin as Nancy Drew. Then to the big screen in 2007 came Nancy Drew starring Emma Roberts. Due to only having a learner's permit and not an actual driver's license, Emma Roberts was not allowed to drive by herself in these car chase scenes. And the best thing about Gilmore Girls is these references made sense then and even now. And actually, there's a Nancy Drew TV series on the CW starring Kennedy McMahon, which is so cool. Just
can I
carries
get one
through.
Super tangent sidebar? Because you just mentioned Emma Roberts. Did you guys see the Harry Potter thing where they showed what they thought was a picture of Emma Watson, who was in Harry Potter, and it was Emma Roberts?
I felt so bad.
Stop. I need to go back and watch
that. You need to go Google it, too. And, like, Emma Roberts and Emma Watson are, like, commenting about it. I mean, on her, like, that is hilarious.
I felt bad for that producer that made that mistake. The wrong picture.
So good.
So next we have Sookie and Rory list off the reasons why Lorelai is an upstanding citizen and should get the loan. Rory says, and you played Tevye in the Stars Hollow Community Theater production of Fiddler on the Roof. Fiddler on the Roof is 1971 American epic musical drama comedy and an adaptation of the 1964 Broadway musical. Topol is only 35 years old when he performed the role of Tevye, a character supposed to be over 50 years old. To make Topol look older, the makeup team clipped 15 white hairs from the director's beard and applied them to Topol's eyebrows.
Ew.
Gross. And the sunrise-sunset scene was not lit by electric light, but by hundreds of candles. Luke tells Lorelai they fixed the house and she can pay for it when she can. Lorelai says, because I'm Tony Soprano? Anthony John Soprano is a fictional character in the 1999 HBO television drama series The Sopranos. HBO was worried that the title of the series would make the audience think that it was about music. That is why the gun image is in the logo. It is said that during some scenes, James Gandolfini inserted a small stone in his shoe to anger him, making him play the role of Tony Soprano more authentically.
Both great tidbits there, Riley.
Scott, would you do that?
Me?
Would it, like, playing Luke, would you be like, let me put a rock in my shoe to make me a little more grumpy?
No, just... No.
Just grumpy.
Just have COVID.
Just have it.
I was just about to say that.
Just have COVID. Just get sick. You're good.
By the way, like, you guys, Scott is sick and is doing this podcast. I'm going to do it.
Well, I put it off for a couple of days and I couldn't have done it Monday or Tuesday when I came back, right?
But you're here now.
But I'm here now. I can't even believe I'm like, my eyes are open.
You don't look your best.
Oh.
Wait, when I saw Scott jump on the Zoom this morning, I was like, I love the facial hair.
An hour ago, he looked a little stronger.
I've lost 10 pounds just sitting here.
Oh my God.
I'm taking so much vitamin C.
At the end of the episode, I'm going to flush the toilet so everyone knows that I'm recording this podcast in a bathroom.
Yes, you need to prove that.
I will. That'll be the big
You can't make that claim without proof.
Yeah, nobody move, because at the end of the episode, you're going to hear a toilet flush.
Right. Exactly.
Leave your 5-star reviews for this particular episode.
I was going to try to make a potty joke, but I'll refrain. Lorelai and Emily fight outside the bank, and Lorelai finally agrees to let Emily in on the bank meeting. Lorelai says to Emily, I swear, one of these days, Alice, pow, right to the moon. This is a reference to The Honeymooners, an American television sitcom which originally aired from 1955 to 1956, created by and starring Jackie Gleason as Ralph. Ralph's phrase, to the moon, Alice, was ranked number 2 in TV Guide's list of TV's 20 top catchphrases, and the four main characters, Ralph, Ed, Alice, and Trixie, later became the prototypes for the four main characters in The Flintstones. The show was shot as...
Pow, right in the kisser.
Mm-mm.
Pow.
Right in the kisser.
Well, who said that? Nobody said kisser. What are you talking about?
I,
It was they claim that the "to the moon, Alice" is the catchphrase that was.
No. And how I wonder, did Emily not get that reference? Because she's of that age where, the Honeymooners was a hit show when she was an adult. And everybody knew that phrase. You know?
Agreed.
So it also came back in 2005 as a film, and it bombed, sadly.
Well, yeah.
Lorelai talks to Suki about the money it is going to cost them to tent their house. Lorelai says, "I was thinking about opening a Coyote Ugly lemonade stand." Coyote Ugly is a 2000 American musical comedy drama film based on Coyote Ugly Saloon. The original Coyote Ugly Saloon officially opened its doors on First Avenue in New York in 1993, and the other 13 locations followed. The saloon is known for its beautiful bartenders performing on the bar, and in the movie, Leanne Rimes did all the singing for the character of Violet, so when the two are duetting on the bar, Rimes is essentially duetting with herself. And finally, Tyra Banks tore her lateral meniscus dancing on top of the bar. Dangerous business, dancing on a bar. Huh. Lorelai tells Rory they will go out to celebrate her SAT scores. Lorelai says, "Okay, so we should celebrate. How about we all get dressed up tonight and hit the Rocky Horror Picture Show?" Which is what you guys talked about, the bantering back and forth. The Rocky Horror Picture Show is a 1975 musical comedy horror film starring Tim Curry, Susan Sarandon, Barry Boswick, and even Meatloaf. Dr. Everett V. Scott crashes through the wall for his entrance because the set builders forgot to put an extra door in the lab set. And we love hidden finds on this podcast. And here's one from Rocky Horror Picture Show. Aside from the chemical symbols scrawled on the lab wall next to the control panel, there's a grocery list calling for flour, eggs, bread, sugar, and 2 hypodermics.
You know, I've never seen a film that engaged an audience so thoroughly than Rocky Horror Picture Show. I was my first year of college is when that hit its zenith. And every Friday night, every weekend night in New Brunswick, because I went to Rutgers, there was this theater and they would show the film there. And everybody would dress up as one of the characters and people would get up on the in front of the screen and act out. You know, there was a moderator and they'd stop the film and everybody. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. I've never experienced
it. They still do it in Los Angeles sometimes.
Oh my God. What a film. What a fun film. Anyway, go ahead.
No, it's a great film. Mrs. Kim kicked Rory out of the antique shop because of the wood and the termites. Rory says, "And then she chased me halfway down the street with a hose. It was like the scene from Silkwood." Silkwood is a 1983 American biographical drama film directed by Mike Nichols and starring Meryl Streep, Cher, and Kurt Russell. The film centers around a death while investigating alleged wrongdoings at the Kerr McGee plutonium plant, which is why she wanted to.
I want to watch Silkwood.
Do you really?
I've never seen it.
I had never heard of it before this.
Seems like a downer. Kind of.
Yeah, sometimes I like that. It'd be good for you guys to watch that today.
Yeah, especially today. If you have a real uplifting film.
Maybe you should watch Contagion.
Oh my gosh, no.
Too soon?
No. I want to see Don't Look Up. What is it?
It's good. Yeah, you got it right. With Leo.
With and Leo? Meryl.
Isn't it Leo, Meryl, Jonah? Good cast.
I was looking at his Twitter feed today, Leo. And it made me feel so completely insignificant.
Worthless.
This guy, he's the king of the world, literally. Sorry, excuse me while I die.
No.
Oh God! All right, time for a cough drop. All right. Oh, let's take. I think I should take the paper off. I've been taking these with the paper on. Man, is that guy committed to curbing climate change?
Yeah.
Well, God, he's worried about the butterflies in Uruguay. And I mean, he's keeping track of everything. Just go on his Twitter feed and you can see how involved he is.
Yeah.
How completely embedded he is in this world. It's quite amazing. I really want to see that Adam McKay film. I really want to see that film.
Yeah.
It's on Netflix, so I think I might.
You can watch it right after this.
Let's review that. Maybe Henry, me and Henry.
Yeah. We'll get to it.
Let's do that.
Okay. Next review, I think Henry mentioned it, is we did Flashdance, and then it's The Sixth Sense. So you could watch that too today.
Sixth Sense?
I don't want to ruin it. I don't want to ruin it. There's a real twist.
I see dead people.
Yeah.
That one?
Yeah. There's a real twist in the end.
Oh boy.
Spoiler alert. Okay, Riley, keep going.
Last but for pop culture, Rory and Lorelai talk about their loan process, and Lorelai says, "Oh, honey, it's not the amount of places that turns you down that matters. It's the quality of the place that turns you down that matters. And when you've got Jacko's loan and stuff not wanting your business, you know it's time to hang out with the Coreys."
Yeah, that was a reference that I really appreciated.
So this is a reference to the two Coreys, also known as the Coreys. The actors are Corey Feldman and Corey Haim. The Two Coreys was a 2007 TV series as a look at their lives of former child actors.
And that was Corey. After this. So she was real on her game.
She was a before her time. And Corey Feldman and Corey Haim were the highest paid teen stars and were essentially the kings of the teen box office back in the mid-late 80s.
Wow.
And Corey Haim unfortunately passed away from pneumonia in 2010.
Do you have a favorite Corey Feldman and Corey Haim movie? Not necessarily, they don't have to be in it together.
Goonies
for Corey Feldman. Great call. I'm a Stand By Me myself. And Corey Haim, Lucas. I love Lucas. If you haven't seen it, you should.
Corey Feldman was great in
Goonies. He was like the best.
Yeah.
And that's it for pop culture.
All right.
Yeah.
I think I've said all my favorite lines. I revealed them as we went along. You're a carrier.
This is Kim. Danielle, what's your favorite line?
I have a good one from when Rory was telling Emily about their problems. And Rory goes, "We have termites. They're eating our whole house." And Lorelai goes, "But they always say thank you."
Mine is also Rory and Lorelai together. Rory says, "So do you think the porch is falling apart or do you just weigh a ton?"
Oh, my God.
What?
I thought of one more.
You can't have two. I got to go. I'm struggling to find one that I like. I think it's Kirk commenting on how delicious the waffles were.
Also, when Lorelai says, "We like the entire house, Kirk," and he says, "Even that kitchen." This might have been my favorite Kirk episode so far. No?
Oh, well, you got, I don't know about that. No.
This might be my favorite podcast. So
it's far. When Kirk seemed the most normal.
Yeah, he seemed like, he just knew his job.
Yeah, he really had it together on that one.
Next week is I forget the exact way what it's called. Richard comes to Stars Hollow.
Richard in Stars Hollow.
Oh my God.
Here, wait, the big finish. Hold on.
See you next week.
All right, kids. Thanks for tuning in. And I'm going to try to do this, give us a nice little send off for the maiden voyage of 2022. I am Scott Patterson, and this is the I Am All In podcast, iHeartRadio 111 Productions. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for downloading. We are going to up our vitamin C, D, and gummy regimen, and we will see you next time. Thanks for tuning in. Bye. Don't forget, follow us on Instagram at IAmAllInPodcast and email us at Gilmore@iHeartRadio.com. All you Gilmore fans, if you're looking for the best cup of coffee in the world, go to my website for my company, scottyp.com, S-C-O-T-T-Y-P.com, scottyp.com. Grade 1 specialty coffee.